picking up the authorized version of Holy Scripture, you'll find before you in the pew, turn with me to the 5th chapter of the first epistle of John. John's first epistle at the chapter 5 and at the verse 1. And we're reading verses 1 to 12, reading together, taking your time from me. Don't mumble the scriptures. Read them out so that we can hear them. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of them, the witness of God is clearer. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son shall have not life. Amen. And God will bless his word to our hearts and stamp it with his own seal of divine approval. I want to speak today, as I shall be helped and enabled by the Spirit of God, on the subject, available power to give the world its knock-out blow. Available power to give the world its knock-out blow. Turn in your Bible to the 5th chapter of 1 John, and at the verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There are four important truths in my text. First of all, there is the truth of the confrontation between the believer and the world. Then, secondly, there is the regeneration of the person who is victorious in this battle. For the secret of the victory lies in the person that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God and is born of God. The regeneration of the victor. And then there is the transformation of the whole situation. Instead of the world being in control, instead of the world's law operating without challenge, instead of the world's power ruling and winning and conquering, there is a ruling and victory and conquering of the people of God who give the world its knockout blow. And then last of all, we have the devastation of the world. God has called us to see the world destroyed in our hearts, the world destroyed in our minds, the world destroyed in our behavior, and the world destroyed in our homes and in our country. And that is the will of God, that we should not be overcome by the world, but that we should overcome the world. Many Christians today don't even fight the world. They're not even in confrontation. They seem to think that God's will for them is to be battered and broken and overcome and defeated continually by the world. Nothing of the sort. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy, not give credence to or encourage, but he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's turn first of all to the confrontation. I don't promise you I will preach this whole sermon this morning. We will probably have to come back to it. But let's look at the confrontation first of all. How does the world confront the believer? Number one, the world confronts the believer with its demands, its laws, its behavior, and its practices, and its aim to conform us to its power. It is the purpose of the world that we should be forced to conform to worldly wishes, forced to adopt the attitude of worldly behavior, forced to use the vocabulary and language of the world, forced to associate ourselves with the people of the world and the practices of the world. And if you look at the world, the church today, the world has won. The world today has won. Look at the church. Church is a worldly church. Look at it. Look at the people of God in the church. They're worldly. They think more of the television set than they think of the prayer meeting. They think more of worldliness and who won the last World Cup and what's happening among men and women teeming in their masses to the darkness of hell. Let's face up to it. The world demands that we bow the knee to its legislation, that we bow the knee to its operation, that we bow the knee to its behavior and dictates. But there's someone battling against the world, and that is the true child of God. You can test whether you're a true child of God if you're in battle against the world. If you're not in battle against the world, then there's a scripture that tells me you are not a real Christian. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's some scripture, isn't it? Better test ourselves, for there is such a thing as a profession of Christianity without a possession of the power of God. There are professors and possessors. Test yourself by the standard. The child of God doesn't say, I'll give in to the world. The true child of God says, is a matter right or is a matter wrong? If it is right, I will do what is right. If it is wrong, I will not do what is wrong. The world may hit me. The world may harm me. The world may hiss at me. But I'm not bowing the knee. Old Martin Luther had a Latin motto. Credo nulli, I yield to none. That should be the language of the Christian in its attitude to the world. I yield to none. Now let me say that the world not only confronts us with its demand for us to bow the knee to it, but it confronts us with a weapon of force. And where the world has sway, it uses force to compare the children of God to bow the knee to its diktat and to its laws. And across the world, today there is persecution of God's people because they will not conform to the world. The world has sharpened its sword to decapitate God's people. And when they haven't the power to kill God's people, they will kill their character by the cruel sword of slander. And they will malign and despise and vilify the people of God. And there are Christians that are afraid to take on the world. They'll do anything for peace. Peace at any price. But there were three Hebrew heroes, and you'll read about them in Daniel chapter 3. Let's just turn back to that chapter and refresh our memories. The third chapter of Daniel. And they were going to burn these three men. Why were they going to burn them? Because they had committed some act of treachery. Not at all. Why were they going to burn them? Because they were immoral. and wicked and violators of commandments? No. We're going to burn them because they wouldn't join the ecumenical church that Nebuchadnezzar had set up with its great image. And everybody had to bow down, and everybody had to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Image worship. You know, at the heart of all false religion, there's image worship. We don't worship image. Or we don't worship pictures. We worship God. And God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So they said to these men, if you don't do what we say, we will burn you. There's the fiery furnace. You can feel its heat already. Now, what did these men say? Well, now we'll be very diplomatic. We'll operate a religious fudge. And we'll find a form of words that will please Nebuchadnezzar and will keep us from being roasted. That's what the world's doing today. There's no such thing as truthful fudges. Every fudge is a falsehood. And if you want to see that, look at the character of David Trimble, and you'll see just what a great liar he is. Let me say to you today, the world puts on the threat. Now, what did these men say? They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't need to go into a huddle and have a little conference. Don't want to do that, no. We're going to answer you right openly. We're not careful. We're bold. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand in the long run. At the end of the day. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve your God. We will not join the ecumenical movement. And we will not worship your way. We will only worship in God's way. You see, there's not only a confrontation with the world to confront us with the laws and rules and behavior of the world, but there's a confrontation with the world and its threat to make us conform. Then, thirdly, the world, when it doesn't get its way in the first, and hasn't the authority and power to get its way in the second, what does the world do? The world starts to smile upon the church. Starts to be friendly. Beware of friendly ecumenists. Beware of them. When the world smiles, it is at its most dangerous state when the world smiles on the church. When the world praises the church, when the world says there's not really a great difference between us, the difference between the church and the world is the difference between heaven and hell. But the world says there's not much of a difference. Can I take part with those that nailed Christ to the tree And where his name is never named, is that the place for me? Nay, world, I turn aside, though thou seem fair and good, that friendly outstretched hand of thine is stained with Jesus' blood. Are we going to be a Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane and kiss the blood sweat from the Savior's brow and betray him to the enemy? That's what the world's looking for. And when the world starts to be nice to the church, let that church beware. For under the velvet glove, there is the maw of those who killed the martyrs. Beware. And so today, we have the church under pressure from the world. And when God sends his affliction, and God does send the children of God affliction, if we had no affliction in this world, we'd never want to leave it. We want to live in it forever. But when the pressures are on, you're glad, aren't you? Aren't you glad when the pressures are on? I know I'm glad when the pressures are on, that I'm not staying here forever. That one day I'm going home to the Father's house. One day I'll hang up the sword and learn the laws of battle no more, for the battles will be over. And thank God I'll join the choir and start my musical ministry. And I'll not be selling like Mr. McRae discs. I'll be singing such music that the discs will be out of fashion, because I'll be singing the melodies of heaven with a new voice and a new song, a new power. And you know what the world says to you? God's a hard taskmaster. Why does God allow these things to happen? Why have you all the difficulties? Look at these ungodly people. Look at how they enjoy life. What a joke. I never met one man of the world ever enjoyed life, because he always wanted something more to satisfy him. The world can't satisfy man. Man can only be satisfied with his Maker. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And the only thing that can satisfy me is communion with my Maker. God is not hard on you. If God was swift to mark our iniquities, who would stand? And we know that. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. The Lord is good, and one day you'll bless the hand that guided, and you'll bless the heart that planned. Well, let's leave that first point and let's come to the second point. What is the secret of this victory that he's talking about here? Verse 4, 1 John, chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Please notice that verse. That verse says anything that is begotten of God, the world cannot. Please take note. Anything that's born of God has within it the life of God. And the devil cannot extinguish the life of God. The life of God will always be victorious. I'm not fighting to win the battle against the world. I'm fighting in the victory over the world, which Christ has already gained for me. So there is a mystery here, and there is a might here. Here is a man, and he's a sinner. He's totally and horribly depraved from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head. There is no soundness in him. Every part of him is depraved, not just his physical parts, but his mental parts and his spiritual parts and his soul parts. They're all depraved. And his will is depraved. So a man that talks about man having the will to save himself is talking utter balderdash. It's not the will, your will, that saves you. It's the Christ in whom you put your trust that saves you. So man is totally corrupted. And then suddenly something happens to this man. He lived for the world. His enjoyments were the world. His companions were the world. His idea of happiness was the world. And then suddenly, gloriously, instantaneously, miraculously and eternally, he was changed. What happened? He was born again. He was begotten of God. Now that, my friend, is a mystery. That doesn't happen when you sign a decision card. That doesn't happen when you walk up the aisle to the inquiry room. That doesn't happen even when you're in the inquiry room, for you could be in the inquiry room and not be born again. But that happens when God, by a Spirit, regenerates your soul. Okay? And it's a wonderful thing and a glorious thing to be able to say the Spirit answers to the blood that I am born of God. And the Spirit witnesses to my spirit that I am what? A begotten one. A child of God. Now when you look into your heart today, have you got that witness? Well, if you haven't got that witness, then you have not got Christ. For does not it say in this chapter that there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water, which is a type of the Word of God, and the blood? These three agree. I have a threefold witness. I've got the Spirit. I've got the blood. Hallelujah. I'm no Unitarian. I believe in the blood. And I have something more, the Word of God. Dr. Major Whittle, you'll find many, many gospel songs in your hymn book with his name at them. Who was he? He was an American major in the American Army. He got gloriously converted and he became a colleague of D.L. Moody and became a great soul winner. And he tells the story that at one of his meetings, a dear woman and her little boy came to Christ. And they went home rejoicing. And the next day, the little boy got up and got his breakfast, and he went off whistling to school, rejoicing he was a child of God. The mother started to do the homework, the work in the house, the housework. And, what is more, the devil started to work in her mind and said, "Now don't you be a fool. You're no different than you were yesterday." that talk by that man Whittle is a lot of nonsense. And instead of the woman resting on the word of God, which is the basis of assurance, she started to worry and to argue with the devil. Now, I know the vast capability of a woman's mind to argue and to make her point. I know that. But you're no match for the devil. The sinless Eve was no match for the devil. The devil won the argument and ruined all mankind in the fall. And when the boy, the lad, came home whistling for his dinner, Mammy was sitting with her apron up over her face, weeping. And she said, "I am not saved." The little boy was a very wise little boy. He didn't argue with his mother. He ran to the cupboard and he took out the Bible. And Major Whittle led those two to the Lord from that great text, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." And he said, "Now you have come. How do you come? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the way you come. And you have come. You've called the Lord's name. And this word says, "Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out." And the little boy opened it up and he ran to his mammy with his finger on it. And he says, "Mammy, it's still in the book." It's still in the book. Someone said to Mr. Nicholson once, "All you have got for your salvation, Mr. Nicholson, is a piece of paper with writing on it." "Correct," said Nicholson, "but remember it's God's writing. It's on the piece of paper. God's writing." My assurance of salvation is not inward initially. It's outward. Because salvation is not subjective, it's objective. I'm not saved from within, I'm saved from without. And my objective foundation is the word of a God that cannot lie. And praise God, cannot die. And God says it in his book. And that you need to know in your heart that you're really born again. Or you haven't a chance with the world. The world will lick you and beat you and smash you and defeat you and overcome you because you haven't divine life in your heart. But if you have divine life in your heart, the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Whatsoever is born of God. Regeneration. Oh, what might there is in the man washed in the blood. The devil can't touch him. There's one thing the devil can't touch is your divine life. Oh, he'll fight you in every corner of the field, but he cannot touch your divine life. You see, that's what happened to Job. The Lord said to the devil, "All right, I'm handing Job to you, but you're not to touch his life." One exemption. He couldn't touch Job's life, for Job knew that his Redeemer liveth. He had the life of the Redeemer in his soul. So I am devil-proof as far as my life is concerned. And if you let the life of the new birth rule your life, and not be a half-hearted, miserable worldling, then you'll know the real victory that's in Christ. I've preached too long already. There's a woman down there. She's worrying about that beautiful lamb chop that she has in the roasting pan. So instead of having a burnt offering, you'll have it just done in time. So I will quit. We will come back to this study as the Lord shall lead us.